The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the ancient world, salt was a profoundly valued product. It has both economic and religious significance. Economically, it was used for money. For instance, as much as 4,000 years ago, the Chinese recognized the importance of salt for each individual. So guess what they did? They taxed it so that they might have more revenue. Sound familiar? The Greeks used salt to barter for slaves, and that's where we get the phrase, he's not worth his salt. The economic value of salt even influenced our present language today, because the word salary actually comes from salt. Salt was also valued in the faith community. It was seen as a symbol of purity and was often used to cleanse people of impure actions or evil spirits. In Scripture, it was often used in the formation of covenants, and at baptisms, salt was often rubbed across the mouth of the child being baptized as a sense of purity, getting out all the evil and cleansing the child. Many of you may remember seeing Da Vinci's Last Supper, but one thing you may not recognize is that in front of Judas Iscariot, there is a spilling of salt, and it's a portent of what will come of the evil that he is involved in denying Jesus. Even today, I know some of you are old enough to remember this, if you spill salt, you take a pinch and you throw it over your shoulder. You know what that's for? To get rid of any evil spirits that might be lurking by. And I'm sure we all still do that. While salt is not as prominent in the New Testament, it remains obvious that Jesus, as a devout Jew, knew the importance of salt to the average person. So our passage then makes us ask the question, why did Jesus use such a common everyday element to define a disciple? We can understand Jesus using light. Light makes sense. We understand light and darkness. But salt, I think there are three reasons that we might get out of this. Sorry about this. I even brought Ricolas, but I didn't have a cough until I walked in with you. I think there are at least three elements of salt that Jesus might have used to define disciples. And I think, as you'll see, they're so unique. They're absolutely beautiful. The first is salt was a symbol of purity. The second, it was a preservative. And third, it gave flavor to life as it does yet today. Now, our passage starts out with Jesus gathering his disciples, notice, apart from the crowd on the mountain. And then he delivers the Beatitudes. I think the Beatitudes sound beautiful, but only disciples might truly appreciate their call for sacrifice. It's not very exciting to be blessed by mourning, or being meek, or being persecuted. If we accept the Beatitudes as a prelude to the definition of a disciple, we begin to grasp what it means to be a leader in God's kingdom. After reminding the disciples that they will have to suffer and be persecuted like the prophets of the Old Testament, which is not very flattering, Jesus embraces them with the words, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." It is here that Jesus, I think, defines somewhat what a disciple can become and is in the world. As salt, a disciple is called to be an illustration of purity. Now, we quickly shrink from thinking that we can be pure because we're all aware of our human flaws and our inconsistent ways of doing things. But when we look at the Hebrew meaning of purity, we discover a new dimension of what Jesus must have been saying. Purity in Hebrew did not mean to be without stain or without sin. Rather, it meant to be single-minded, to have one's heart and mind on the things of God and on the kingdom. In fact, later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus defines a little further what a disciple might be when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added as well." So a mind that's set on the purposes, the love of God. That sense of purity brought a standard of living that measured one's life not against others, but against the glory of a loving God. The results of a single-minded devotion to God means that it was a life that reflected God's influence in our decisions, how we live, and the way in which we treat others and the world. A man worked as a draftsman for one company all his life. And when he retired, as a single man, he decided he wanted to do something for God. He taught in Sunday school, and he had an almost boring life, as he said. But then he heard that the synod was asking for people to go down to Mexico, Merida, Mexico, in the Yucatan, and do a work camp and see the missions. He signed up with great excitement. Nobody else signed up. So the work camp was canceled. But he decided that he was going to go down to Mexico on his own. So he did. He went to Merida. He went to the little struggling hospital in the middle of Merida. And he volunteered. And for the next 15-plus years, he worked as a missionary in the hospital and out in the lying areas, little villages where there were hardly more than 10 to 20 people. And he would go back in the summer to the place where he was from, and he would tell them about the mission in Merida, Mexico. And he gained thousands upon thousands of dollars for scholarships for boys and girls who lived out in these small villages and had no way to go to school. But he created scholarships for them to come into Merida and be taught. He was revered in Merida, Mexico, and in his home congregation. And he, you might say, single-minded, being influenced by the love of God, was the salt of the earth. The second quality of salt is as a preservative. A preservative keeps things from going bad, from spoiling. In the early days of sailing from Europe to America, fish would be packed in salt to keep it from spoiling. Now, a Christian is salt in preserving the values of the faith, values such as honesty and justice that's proclaimed by Jesus. A youth advisor was fired from his job as a plumber. He was putting plumbing in a very exclusive housing unit when he noticed that he was being provided with an inferior grade of pipe. He went to the foreman and explained that the pipe that they were putting in was not the same quality that was called for in the blueprint. He was told to put in the pipe and be quiet. He said that he couldn't because it would be dishonest, and he would be cheating people. And of course, he was fired. He said he knew it was wrong, especially as a Christian, but he could not knowingly cheat someone. So he notified the authorities and he suffered for his convictions. He was quickly fired from his job. He was the salt of the earth. And last, salt was and still is a flavoring to life. One who is the salt of the earth would be one who brings vitality and joy to life, someone who lifts up the lives of others. It means having a sense of humor and bringing hope in times of doubt. Let me tell you one of the most amazing stories. A 6-year-old boy in first grade in Canada heard his teacher say that people in Africa had to walk for hours to get water, and sometimes when they brought the water back, it was dirty. He recognized that all he needed to do was walk to the faucet, a few steps. His teacher said that someone could have a new well dug for $70. So he decided he was going to work for $70. So he talked to his mother and father, and for 4 months he worked at home. And he gained the $70. And he was so excited, he took it into school and gave it to the teacher and said, "We need to send this on," when he found out it actually was $2,000 to build a well. So he decided to include his classmates, the teachers, and the administration. And then he got online and started to talk to people all over the country and all over the world about building a well. Today, that young boy is a third-year student at the University of King's College in Halifax, and his efforts, probably known to many of you as Ryan's Well, has produced 365 wells that benefit over 500,000 people in 14 countries. Ryan Relic Foundation is supported by Matt Damon, and Ryan has appeared on CNN, on Oprah, and he continues to seek support for clean water for people in other lands. A 6-year-old boy who suddenly saw a vision that no one else saw has created a miracle for people around the world that now have water available to them. This young boy, to me, is the way God uses the salt of the earth to create something new and whole. I think this congregation is filled right here, right now, with plenty of salt. Through your devotion to God, you have influenced the lives of multitudes with the love of Christ. Through your prayers and activities and your faith, you have preserved the values of honesty and justice and love. And through your mission work, you have brought joy and hope and flavor to the lives of people and nations around the world. You see, when Jesus was calling people the salt of the earth, he was talking about you. Because you are indeed the salt of the earth. Let us spend a moment in silence to center on our own gift of being salty Christians. Let us pray.